Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I would like to say good morning. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, located in Vilas, North Carolina, just 1 mile up the Baird's Creek Road above the Willow Creek Golf Course, welcoming you to Blessings of Liberty, this first broadcast of the new year of 2012. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We'd love to invite you to come to be with us in any or all of our services. If you do not have a church home, if you're new to the area and you don't know where to go looking for somewhere, we'd love to invite you to come and be with us. We have Sunday school, 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, at 11 a.m. our Sunday morning worship service, then second and fourth Sunday nights at 6 p.m. And that is, of course, weather allowing. You know, this is January, and it certainly has come in like wintertime so far. And we encourage our folks to call ahead. Sometimes, you know, on Wednesday night or Sunday night, a storm will blow in, and we'll have to cancel on short notice. But we try to get the word out. Our church phone number is 828-963-4596. And if nobody's there in the study, that goes to my house as well. So we try to man that phone line 24 hours a day, I guess you could say. But good morning, Noah. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Good. It's good to be here.
It is?
No, little cold outside.
Just a little. What is the temperature outside?
I don't have it. 19 degrees.
That's what it was when I left the house.
Mm-hmm. We want to say how much we appreciate all our listeners, those who listen in on AM 1450 WATA right here in Boone, and those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and I want to say thank you to Noah for helping here on the Blessings of Liberty. Of course, he is my son, and I appreciate him in more ways than you know. He helped me today on the other radio broadcast and got it all together before we even came to the studio. And that's the old PAS broadcast that we have on WZAP Monday through Friday at 10:45. We'd love for you to tune in and listen there. And WZAP goes out into parts of six states, and we really appreciate the folks over there and them getting the word of God out over the radio airwaves. And also, we appreciate the local radio station here, WATA. But let's begin the new year with a proverb. And those of you that have listened in any amount of time know that I'm a big fan of the book of Proverbs. And I encourage people, if you want to get in a good habit this new year, the book of Proverbs and Bible reading. Sometimes Bible reading overwhelms people. I don't even know where to start, people are saying. Or, you know, well, I start in Genesis and I wash out. You know, I get lost in the genealogies, or I get lost in the book of Leviticus, or, you know, I'll start out going to read the Bible through. Start easy. Read the book of John. Read in the book of Psalms. Read in the book of Proverbs. I encourage people to read a proverb a day. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. That's one for every day of the month. I've done that now for, I'm going to guess, probably 20 years, and I'm still learning something every day. This morning, I was in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 26, and the Bible says over there, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." That is a wonderful verse of Scripture. We live in very deceptive days. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 13 that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that chapter is talking about the last days. Verse 1 says, "This know that also in the last days perilous times shall come." And these last days are going to be characterized by deception. And sometimes I'll read the news, or I'm studying for something, or current events, and I'll come away and I will say, I don't know who to believe. I was studying about something last week, and one gentleman who I think very highly of, I was reading after him, he said one thing about a certain subject. I'm not going to get into it today, but I went and I read something another gentleman that I think highly of. These are both Bible-believing men who have wisdom. And the other gentleman said the exact opposite thing concerning that subject. So sometimes you don't know who to believe. You don't know what to believe. We live in the information age, but what good is information if it's wrong information? Well, that's the blessing that I got out of the proverb this morning. For the Lord shall be thy confidence. Most media is corrupted, or at least tainted, one way or the other, the right, the left, the Republican, the Democrat, the conservative, the liberal. And, you know, if you really want to have your confidence where it will never be shaken, put your confidence in the Lord. You know, He is our ultimate confidant, and we can come to Him. He's trustworthy. He's reliable. We can not only believe everything He says, but we can take our lives, our emotions, our problems, our concerns, we can take them to Him. He is our confidant. We can trust in Him, and we can leave our secrets with Him, and we can tell our secrets to Him and the desires of our heart. And so I really got a blessing out of that verse, just that first part. The Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And that's the same chapter that we find those great verses in. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So if you'll read a chapter a day out of the book of Proverbs, and you'll come to the Bible and read it as a personal letter to you, you'll get a lot more out of it. God wants to speak to you in these last days, and He does that through His Word, the Bible. Now, I want to move on this morning. If you've not heard of all of the hoopla concerning 2012, then you've surely just arrived from another planet. We've heard that for a year now. 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to the planet? What's going to happen to, is the apocalypse going to happen? The Mayan calendar is ending December 21st of this year, I believe it is. And that's supposed to be, events are going to shake the world, and, you know, sort of like Y2K all over again. I seen something somebody said, are we going to call this Y2K 2 dozen or something like that because it's 2012? I don't know. But supposedly this year is going to be the end of it all. Well, you know, what about 2011? 2011 is nothing to sneeze at. There were worldwide political revolutions took place in the Middle East and even in America. Occupy this and occupy that. Economies of the world were on the brink of collapse, and just by the grace of God, we've made it through as far as we have, as good as we have. Unemployment's running rampant in America and other nations in the world. People have fallen on hard times. Many people, that is, foreclosures, people losing their home, losing their jobs. Morality and traditional marriage definitely took a hit in 2011. New York State now, same-sex union is lawful. I seen in the newspaper yesterday where I think it was, I don't want to get this wrong, it was Vermont or Delaware or Connecticut had a run on same-sex marriages on the first of the year. They wanted to get married because that had come into effect as well. The military dropped the don't ask, don't tell stipulation in their policy, and so that was big news last year. Also last year in 2011, in the news all the time, Israel, Iran, Iraq, Russia, China. Those of you that are Bible students, you'll recognize the implications there. In the Bible, you will not find in the end days the nation of America. Some people say, well, America's not there. America will fall off the scene. America will cease to exist. America will become a non-player in the end days. There are several reasons why people say you don't find America in the Bible. But anyway, you certainly find Israel. You certainly find Iran, Iraq. That's modern-day Babylon. You find Iraq is where Babylon is. Iran is where Persia is. Both of these are mentioned in the Bible. Russia, China is mentioned. The armies from the east in the book of Revelation. And so today, you know, war is on the lips once again of the nations of the world, Iran and getting the bomb and all of these things. And some of these things I've heard since I was a teenager, war in the Middle East. And then there's the subject in 2011 of the weather. And people are worried about what's going to happen in 2012. But in 2011, weather made the news many, many times on the Weather Channel. I noticed over Christmas and New Year's, this same show came on several times, but it was called 2011 Weather by the Billions. And it started last January and went through this year and all the different catastrophes, over 10 weather events, drought, flood, snowstorms, hurricanes, tornadoes tore through America, and it talked about how many times that it went over $1 billion. And then there was another channel had one called 2011, the year the weather went wild, and also talking about in the world earthquakes, drought, famines, all of these things. And so 2011 certainly was a year to be remembered for catastrophes and disasters and earthquakes and world-shaking events. So if that was a foretaste, we should buckle our seat belts, make sure, as I said already this morning, that we have our confidence in the Lord, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. But what I want to talk about for just a few minutes this morning in the time remaining is something that took place very recently in America, in our legislative process, and that is a piece of legislation that was signed into law December 31st, just a few days ago. It's called the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, and this is not something that you've heard a lot about. I hope you hear a lot about it, because this is something that American citizens definitely need to be concerned about. It's something that Christians definitely need to be concerned about. It's something that patriotic American citizens need to be concerned about. We need to, more than ever before, watch what our government is doing. Now, I'm not anti-American or anything like that. I'm a veteran of the United States Air Force. I served during the Gulf War. I lived in another country for 3 years of my life without ever coming home. I fly the flag. I love our country. And so don't get me wrong what I'm saying today, but I'll tell you, we need to watch what the leaders in our government are doing. If you are a student of history, what I see, we are following after the same things that other dictators have done as they have come into power. Some of the same laws that have been passed and are being passed and implemented in the United States of America, the Nazis in Germany followed the same patterns to bring themselves into power legally and oppress the people. Now, this National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, I encourage you, find the piece of legislation, do some study about it, and find out for yourself what it says. I'm going to give you the very short version of what this does and why it is significant for patriots and Christian people and anybody that loves freedom. The legislation is a traitorous act by our congressmen, by our senators, by our president against the Bill of Rights and against the American people. Now, if we have no Bill of Rights in America, we have no America. We have no freedom. We have no religious freedom. We have no freedom of the press. We have no right to keep and bear arms. There are many things that the Bill of Rights, if we have no Bill of Rights, we have no Constitution. Marine General Smedley Butler said this: there are only two things we should fight for. One is the defense of our homes, and the other is the Bill of Rights. And this National Defense Authorization Act, what it does, it declares America a war zone under the banner of terrorism. We've been made to believe for many, many years now that the greatest threat to America is people that live in Iraq and Afghanistan. And one writer I was reading after called them the sand people. But I'll tell you, could it be today that our greatest opposition to freedom is ourselves and what comes out of our federal government? Sorry to have to say that, but it's just the truth of the matter. This National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA as it's called, it makes America a war zone. It declares American citizens as enemy combatants. If the government says so, and that's the key right there, if the government says so, if the executive branch or any of the subordinates of the executive branch of the president, such as the CIA, other departments that are involved there, if they say so, you, myself, any American citizen living our lives, going through our personal business, you could be rounded up, you could be detained indefinitely, you could be sent somewhere, I could be sent somewhere like Gitmo without accusation or reason. They don't have to give a reason for this. They could just say they're an enemy combatant, they're involved in helping Al-Qaeda, or they're involved in terrorism in some way or another, without accusation, without any representation, without a trial. American citizens can be declared enemy combatants, rounded up, denied a trial, denied a jury of our peers. This is very serious business that we're talking about. These are our rights in the Bill of Rights. This is what makes America America. In America, supposedly, you can't just round up citizens, haul them off, hold them indefinitely as political prisoners. Our nation condemns other nations that do these things, yet our government has passed a law that allows our government to do these things that we condemn others for. And it ought to be disturbing. It ought to be in the news. You couple this NDAA with the Patriot Act and what has gone on since 9/11, and our freedoms, our rights as American citizens are almost now slim to none. I have brought with me, and I suggest that you as an American citizen obtain a copy of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and read it. It's not like it takes, it's not like reading War and Peace. It's not something that's going to take you all winter and part of the summer. It's something you can read in one sitting. But I just want to read some of the Bill of Rights this morning. And just you ask yourself as a thinking person today, are we under attack by our own government in the freedoms and the rights that we have? The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. I've noticed in the Winston-Salem Journal, the Occupy protesters, no matter what you think of them, no matter if you think they're right or wrong or ought to go out and get a job, you know, that's irrelevant. These are American citizens. They have the right to peaceably assemble. But I have noticed in the newspaper that they are petitioning down there, different, the powers that be, I guess you could say, for to petition. You know, you don't do that in America. We've got the right to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. There is constantly talk about an internet kill switch bill. You know, whether you like the internet or not, it is a source of information. You can go, and there's more information now than there ever has been available at fingertips. But the government is seeking the power to kill the internet. Now, that's what they did in Egypt when there was the uprisings. That's what they do in China when they want to quell uprisings. They'll kill the internet. They'll kill the cell phone. And this is something that tyrannical governments seek after, but our government is seeking. There's constantly attacks and laws that are trying to be brought up to prohibit preaching against or exposing such things as homosexuality or Islam, and that would be considered hate speech, and you could be prosecuted, arrested. This is the way it is in European countries. They're trying to make our country like that. First Amendment, Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This is constantly under attack in our nation. Gun laws in our nation. I'm talking from the perspective of somebody that knows the laws, our federal firearms laws. I used to have a federal firearms license. I'm familiar with the ATF regulations and the Form 4473 and all of these things. Do you know that our gun laws in this nation, you could lay out the gun laws in Germany before the Nazis took over, and I'll tell you, I believe they got them out of the same book. It's amazing the correlations between the two. There's a lot of things going on in our country we need to be aware of. We need to be constantly vigilant, or our rights are going to be taken away. If we don't have the second part of the Second Amendment about the right of the people to keep and bear arms, we will not have the First Amendment, or the Third, or the Fourth, or the Fifth. Most people just know about the First and Second, but they're all important. The Fourth Amendment, for example, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, in particular describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Now, what that ought to protect us from are things like checkpoints. That ought to protect us from the TSA or the Homeland Security or the government listening in on our conversations, our private conversations, but they can do that under the Patriot Act. Homeland Security or TSA can set up checkpoints and make your life miserable, make you a criminal just for riding down the road and being at the place where you get stopped, and all of a sudden you're suspect and you're searched and something's, you know, it's just, we're living in almost a police state. The Third Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment. I've got to quickly move on today. I won't even have time. I'll go on to the Sixth Amendment, because this National Defense Act that I'm talking about applies right here. It says, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Now, the National Defense Authorization Act basically does away with the Sixth Amendment. If you're rounded up under the guise of helping terrorists or being accused just because the government says so, then they can whisk you away. No accusation, no representation, no accuser brought before you, no representation by a lawyer. It's just done away with. And it's terrible, terrible what's going on in our country. I want to just point out today, in the time that we have left, I think everybody needs to know who it is that voted for this and ought to call them on the carpet, so to speak. Now, in North Carolina, the senators that voted for this, both of them, Burr and Hagan, voted yes. This was voted into law, 86 yeas and only 13 nays, and one senator did not vote. But in North Carolina, Senator Burr voted for this. Shame on him. Senator Hagan, well, she's a Democrat. I wouldn't expect any better from her. Sorry to have to say that, but they both voted for it. They're both in the same box. They both broke their oath that they would uphold the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. In Tennessee, both Alexander and Corker voted for this. They're both Republicans. They voted for this. In Virginia, both Senator Warner and Webb voted yes for this. They ought to all be voted out of office. And in the Congress, and I didn't look through all of them, but I know locally our representative is Miss Fox, and I think she's a great representative and all like that, but she voted for this. I'll tell you, I don't know what. I think once they get in office for so long, they lose their mind and forget about that they're there to represent the people and the rights of the people. So if that hurts your feelings, I'm sorry, but that's just the way that it is. They've broken their oath of office. Some of the senators who spoke in opposition to this was, for example, if I can find it here, Tom McClintock. He said, "I rise in opposition to Section 1021 of the underlying conference report, the NDAA Act." He said, "This section specifically affirms that the president has the authority to deny due process to any American it charges with substantially supporting Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or any associated forces," whatever that means. He said, "Would substantial support of an associated force mean linking a website to a website that links to a website affiliated with Al-Qaeda? We don't know. The question is, do we really want to find out? We're told not to worry that the bill explicitly states that nothing in it shall alter existing law, but there is no existing law concerning this. We ought to be worried about it. We ought to be concerned about it." Another, Senator Bernie Sanders, said this bill also contains misguided provisions that in the name of fighting terrorism essentially authorize the indefinite imprisonment of American citizens without charges. Senator Rand Paul, from Kentucky said, "If you allow the government the unlimited power to detain citizens without a jury trial, you are exposing yourself to the whim of those in power. That is a dangerous game." Now, Mr. Obama, of course, he played politics. When he signed this, he said, and I forget exactly, a signing order, or basically what he did. He said, "I don't like it, but I'm going to sign it. But don't worry, I'll never use this against American citizens." Well, that ought to help you sleep better and feel better about it. You know, goodness, I don't want to get in the flesh over this and say something I shouldn't say, but I'll tell you, I wouldn't trust any of them as far as I can throw them. Any of them that voted for it, they ought to be voted out. They have lost confidence as far as I'm concerned. They have failed to keep their oath and failed to protect America against tyranny. And that's the road that we're going down. Well, I've been talking for several weeks about revival. I'm going to close with a quote from Leonard Ravenhill, 1983. He said this. The name of the book is Revival God's Way. You say preachers shouldn't mix politics and religion. Well, that's for another time, but we need to be aware of what's going on. He said, "Time is running out on us. Liberties are drying up. Privacy is withering. Soon there will be no private holding of funds. Federal peeping at bank holdings is very near." That's where we're at. Well, Noah, you give the closing information in just a moment, and we'd love to hear from you. But we appreciate you listening in today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and hope you have a good new year starting out. Pray for us. Noah, give us the information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.